The last time I preached at St. Mark's, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I took the theme of thankfulness, of being grateful for the things that happen in life, and I sang a little bit from the hymn, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Thank you for all those who've sung them back to me in the last couple of weeks. It's been very nice. And I've been able to do that, especially the last, it's not a New Year resolution, but I'm very grateful for the things that have happened in the last few weeks. Things have come together. Reason to be thankful. It was my birthday, so thank you for all who greeted me. My wife gave me 2 cookery books. I think she was trying to say something, but I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. I really am, and I will use them. It was the week of prayer for Christian unity. It's always the 18th to the 25th of January, whatever those days are in the week. And I've had some interesting experiences, encounters, during that week, and they were a privilege to preach at Zeo Church down the road, to join in prayer with the Street Angels and at Tilehouse Street, and to call in at Christ Church and have some fascinating conversations there with people at that church. And later this afternoon we have a Tese service, which in effect ends the week a couple of days late. And also, reading those lessons, they were wonderful. Every one of them was preachable on. And I had one of my favourite gospel passages. And I'm just so grateful for it. I will come to it in a moment. But I just want to say that by counting my blessings, I feel very personal testimony. I've been encouraged in faith over the last couple of weeks. And I'm grateful. And I just want to make that point in 3 ways. How I've been encouraged in faith, and hope it says something to you. First, the gospel passage. I have complained in the past about being given difficult passages. I'll be honest, and I'm sorry, Jane. I withdraw all that. I am terribly grateful for this one. It is one of my favouritest. It's one of those great moments at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus that has everything in it, as far as I'm concerned. There's a local boy gone back to the place he was brought up. Not where he was born, but where he was brought up. And people know him. His reputation is beginning to grow as a preacher. And he's given a great honour. He's asked to read the main lesson from Isaiah. And he reads it. And then there's the drama of him saying, "You do realise, don't you, that today that prophecy has come true." And the bit on, I think it's a pity it stops there, the passage, because if you read on, at first they think, "Ooh, and he's only Joseph's lad." And then they get a bit bothered about it, especially when he gets a bit political a bit later on, because he talks about a Syrian, not one of them, being an example of kindness, and that offends them. And before long, they've got cross. They've moved from saying, "Such a nice boy," to, "Let's get rid of him. He's beyond his station. He's showing off." And I think as a boy, to show off was one of the worst things I could ever have done. I never did, of course, but you know, if I ever did, my mother made me know that I shouldn't. And there's that lovely moment when they got so angry and he walks through them and continues his ministry. And I think that passage has got everything in it for me. And if you read on, even more. There's something very beautiful about hearing Jesus speak of his ministry, which is about to unfold, and getting the reaction. It's very dramatic. And if I say something which is slightly banal, really, a bit pathetic, I am a Christian because of Jesus. And it is a bit pathetic to say that, because I think we all are in some ways. But I'm because of Jesus. I'm a Christian because of Jesus. And it's moments like this that encourage my faith. When I see in this man who was God incarnate a message of goodness, of freedom, of kindness, of power, and I think to myself, that's my Lord. And it encourages me. bit controversial at times, he was. But I like that too. I put that phrase, what's not to like about him? I don't use that phrase very much, but I quite like it. There's something truly wonderful about Jesus, and that moment expresses it. But secondly, I'm encouraged by this week of prayer. I say every year, it's this week, 18th to 25th of January, it was established by a French Roman Catholic priest about 110 years ago when in Lyon, and he was bothered that Christians weren't getting on with each other. And as long ago as that, he invited Christians to come together to pray for each other and about the mission of the church in the world. It was, I find it hard to believe, but it was dramatic. It was something that had never been done before since the Reformation. And he chose the feasts of St. Peter and St. Paul as the 18th and the 25th, and he wanted to pray between those two great apostles. Pity in a way he chose winter. It's difficult to get people out to pray in winter in this hemisphere, but it works in the southern hemisphere. They just meet in the sunshine and pray, so it suits them very well. But there's something very beautiful about this week. Only a few people take part in it, but never mind. We get that sense that we are one in Christ and that we belong to each other. That was what Paul was trying to say. We are one body. Some may be bigger than others, some traditions are longer than others, but we belong together in presenting the gospel of Christ. And when I went into, it was lovely being part of prayer in different churches, but I also went to Christ Church and picked up this magazine, which is called The Connection. That's a good Methodist word. John Wesley set up the Methodist Connection. And there's something about that, that we are, whatever tradition we're in, we are connected to each other, and we can't do without each other. And that to me is a strength, it's an encouragement. The prayers each week of prayer for Christian unity are written by a different country, a church in a different country, and this year they were written by the Indonesian Christians, about whom I knew virtually nothing. It's the biggest Muslim country in the world, and there are in that country 32 million Christians, a lot more than we have here. Staggering. On the whole, they have freedom, but they also know persecution. Subtle ones, like you haven't got a license for your building, so we're going to close it. That happens. And there's something very strong about them giving us words to use, and we shall use them at the end of this sermon as our prayers. Something very beautiful about that. But we are connected in Hitchin, 17 churches in Churches Together, and so I would say that, wouldn't I, because I'm secretary of it, but it is very important to me that we are together in Christ in the town, proclaiming the gospel in a connected way as much as we can. And to me, St. Mark's is a connection. We are together. Some of us, all of us, are strengthened and encouraged by each other. And that's one of the reasons we meet week by week and gain strength from each other. So that was a second encouragement. And the third encouragement, I take it from this book, this magazine again. It has some lovely stories. It's connection, how people are connected. And its subtitle is Journeying. And it's hit me this week quite a lot that we are all journeying together. Pilgrims is the old word, well, modern word as much as anything. But journeying together, and we learn from each other and we support each other on those journeys because we are fellow pilgrims. And it was lovely reading this book because I knew some of the people whose stories are told. And some of the stories are not easy. There's one lady in the book who not seen for about 20 odd years, but I knew that her son took his own life in his teens, and she is continuing that journey of faith, struggling obviously with sadness, but being an inspiration to others. And I find that very moving. For some of us, the journey will be difficult. For some of us, the journey is easy. For some it's frightening, prefer to stay still rather than journey. But for all of us, I think there is a journey of faith. Some of us at the beginning, some of us have been in it a long time, naming no names, but some of us have been journeying faithfully, sometimes stumbling, but encouraging one another. And for all those reasons, I've felt encouraged this week. So I'm grateful for the gospel. To me, one of the best bits of the New Testament, bar none. I'm grateful for the connections all around me. And I'm grateful too for the journeyings in which we support one another as we follow Christ. To him be the glory. Amen.